This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Caring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, purple-haired, fresh out of the shower, and very successful with her girl pants on, Amanda! That wasn't too bad.
That was pretty good. That was epic. Thanks. I was like, I feel super empowered right now.
My pleasure.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. As you say, purple haired, fresh out of the shower, and with my big girl pants on.
Yeah, feeling I forgot good. The big. I just told people that you have pants on, which, well, I guess you have most of the time. But
how do you know? Maybe I go commando.
Maybe you do go commando.
Maybe I do.
But up until now, you never had to turn off your camera when you went for pee, and that happens more often than not. So I guess you have pants on now as well.
True.
How's you?
Good. We just established that. I had, you know, good. The good is good.
Oh, the good is good.
Sorry. The good is good. Yeah. How's you?
Brain is fried. Mm. It's a Monday.
No, it's not.
Oh, it feels like a Monday. Other than that, I don't know. I find the internet quite a horrible place in the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit rough around the edges.
I feel that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because the internet is such a vile place in the last couple of days, I mean, it's probably always been, but I think that's also a bit of the reason why we want to take this opportunity today and talk a bit about our geek highs and lows, because it felt a bit fitting.
It is fitting, and it's also fitting for personal, like for you and me, because we've actually been talking about the duality of things lately, Monica.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Amanda so, is a and if people don't know, Amanda can tarot read, and she tarot read for me, and it was fucking ridiculous how accurate it was, which was very irritating and stuff at the same time.
Sorry, but it was a nice reading.
It was a nice reading.
Sorry for being right.
Yeah. And it came up a lot also in the last couple of episodes that we did, always the when you'd say duality. So because it always seems like there is only one right answer to things, and then all the both sides get so angry about the other side's opinion that there is no common ground for anything anymore, and also no common ground for discussion and stuff, which I think is why we probably all need to embrace the duality of things more, that things can exist at the same time, even though it doesn't seem like it, I guess. Which is also why we talk about the highs and lows today, because, I don't know, it's both valid.
It is both valid, and it's like, just because things are maybe a little bit less great than we would normally like them to be right now, that doesn't mean that there's not also some really cool stuff happening as well in the geek community that we kind of want to celebrate.
Yeah. Or I like Fandangli's quote, it's easier to see the difference when you're sitting on the fence.
True.
That is not wrong. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to tell me something that was a moment in your geek life that was something that you will always remember as a super high, and something you love thinking back to, putting you on the spot.
Okay. So a moment that I constantly think back to, and I have to preface this that it's now slightly tarnished, but I am also not, I'm holding it as a memory for what it was. And it was being in Edinburgh in 2005, 2005, yes, summer 2005, at a midnight release of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And standing on Prince's Street, looking up at midnight over at Edinburgh Castle, and at midnight, fireworks were going off because the author was there doing a live reading. And right at midnight, she started reading and the fireworks went off. And like, I was down at the other bookstore in line with somebody that I don't know what their relation to me at the time was, not a boyfriend, but not a boyfriend. And
a casual fling.
A thing, yeah. Mom
is shocked.
It was really amazing. And like, we got the book in Edinburgh, like on Prince's Street. Like, it meant so much to me. We walked home in the rain, because obviously it's Edinburgh, it rains. We walked home and we sat in his living room like at 1 o'clock in the morning reading out loud to each other, like the first, I think we read about 10 chapters. Aww. And that is probably one of my favorite geeky memories, because I'm like, this guy was not geeky, but he was super into the geek for me. And I was like, this is so cool. And it was just everything, because it was perfect. It was like my favorite book, my favorite franchise, a magical midnight opening in Edinburgh watching the fireworks. And I was like, it couldn't have been any more perfect for what it was.
Yeah, I think that's also the reason. We have so many memories. I read an article today that it's now 20 years that since the book came out, and 20 years of our life, this has been something that has been positively affecting us for most of the time. And it has had such a positive effect on us for so long that I'm also, despite it being really hard, and also in Ollie in the chat says as well that he adores Harry Potter, but he just can't stand with her, which is exactly what I'm like, 100% what my feeling as well. And I had a tougher time, and I still have a tough time, to be like, can I even wear the shirts anymore? Can I write with a pen that I have right now? But I'm not letting her ruin stuff that has been so good for me for 20 years of my life now. Because it's not her that gave me that. It's the people that I found through the books that gave me that. And it's not up to her to take that away from me now. Which is, I'm like, I made the best, so many good friends because of that franchise. I had, like, I don't want her to ruin this for me, as she's already ruining everything for so many people already who used her books as a place to find something that they couldn't get in real life, I guess, as well. And I don't want to give her more power than she's already taking upon herself, and one that she's also using to hurt people that are already in pain, if you know what I mean. So, and I'm like, I'm not giving her more power to take all other things away from me that have been great for me, because she's already putting so much hurt and pain out there right now, where I'm like, that's enough. You're not getting more of that. You can't do that to anyone else anymore. You're hurting everybody enough as you are right now. So you're not getting that last bit of me. That's mine.
Yeah. It's like, she can't tarnish our memories. Like, she can't take the memories that we have. And I know that we both have like really strong memories associated with Harry Potter, and it's, they're always going to be there. Mm. It's just how we, I guess, move forward with the new knowledge and still honoring the whole experience. Like you say, it's 20 years of my life. Like, it literally is 20 years, because I found them when I was 14 years old. And like, that's a long time. Like, that's almost as long as my relationship with Nick Carter, you know?
My relationship with Nick Carter is older than that.
Well, only just, like, okay, well, we're coming up on 30 years there, but like, you know.
I agree with you there. And I think maybe it's a time for us to move the needle, like to move the needle in a way. Frasley also had a relationship with Nick Carter. He was mine, Frasley.
I'm older than you. I've loved him longer.
I'm older than you.
But you didn't love Nick Carter.
Of course I did.
Oh.
What question is this? we don't go there. But maybe we need to take the situation as it is now to embrace more creators that already work with the stories that we love, but in a way that we can embrace them more and with a way that we can identify with them more. Because it's really painful to see that people that we know in the same Discord that we're both part of, they have to take the franchise and work with that even though they can't identify with it anymore. And I feel that's so much pain that they have to go through because of that. But if we take this opportunity now and find creators that stand with what we believe in as well, on the basis of the story that we love, maybe that can be something that elevates that even more and takes away from the pain that she's causing.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Like, I think that there are so many authors and creators out there who are creating diverse characters, like not just racially diverse, but like in terms of gender and sexuality and religion. Like, there's so much out there that it doesn't have to just be like, oh, here's an entire group of white witches and wizards. Well, here's a black guy too. Like, you just need to look at like one of our favorite series by Robin Hobb. Like, it was such a diverse, like, incredibly diverse and ultra feminist, like, fantasy series of 17 novels. And like, it when you're reading it, it didn't scream like, hello, I'm like these characters are diverse, these characters are gender fluid, these characters like are every race that you can think of. Like, it didn't scream that when you're reading it, but it's like looking back and reflecting, you're like, why can't all books do this? Like, why can't all books just embrace this kind of diversity without making it a huge deal? I'm not saying that diverse books aren't a huge deal, but I just feel like it doesn't have to be like the main focus of the book. Like, it can just be there naturally.
Exactly what you mean. It's when it's made a topic, it seems more artificial than when it's just happening. And I feel it's the same way. That's what I personally felt a lot with The Last of Us 2, for example, that it wasn't really something that was, look at me, this is a gay relationship and stuff like that. It was just there, which is normalizing it, of course. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, is we need to not make this such a big of a topic. It just needs to represent everyday life, and that's what's happening in everyday life. You have people of all races, you have people of all genders, you have people of all sexualities, and I think that's just how it needs to be portrayed in books, in movies, in podcasts, everywhere, and everything. So that, number one, people can feel represented as well and not feel so out of place in the world, because they are not out of place, it's just wrongly represented. And for everybody else to see that this is just normal and nobody is a threat to you just because they love someone that you love as well or don't love as well. Like, what is the fucking deal with that in general? Like, can't even.
I don't know. I mean, personally, I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable because you and Frasley both have love for Nick Carter. And, like, there can only be one lover of Nick
Carter. What are you... I mean, maybe we should start out with him being married and all. So you should first and foremost have a serious conversation with his wife. Okay. And then we can deal with where we're gonna go from there.
That's fair. I was actually talking to Frasley through the week about how easy it would be to create like a more diverse range of characters in books. I was reading a series that you told me about, Monica.
Rainbow Rowell? No.
Nope. No. Bella. This is how good it was.
the Wanda Harlequin something.
Yeah,
the one we got for Melanie.
Harley Merlin? Haley Merlin.
Oh, something like that.
Something like that. I don't remember what it's called. I'm really sorry. Because when I realized that the author was pumping out like 4 to 5 to 6 books a year, I was like, there's like 18, 19, 20 books in this series and they're not that good. But there was like 4 kind of main characters, four men and 4 women, all white. And of course, they all coupled up like totally heterosexually together. And I was like, there was just like... would have been really easy to do something like have like 2 of the guys get together or 2 of the girls get together, or have somebody be like, actually, I'm not really interested in this. Like, why did they all have to couple up? Like, why?
I haven't read the books. I can't even say anything.
I don't really recommend them.
Just okay.
FYI.
Thanks.
I mean, they're fine, but they're not like, this is the best book ever. I was like, I mean, it kept me going when I was dying in the middle of the night for like 5 days in a row.
Okay. Watermelon added in the chat that he's worried that people's reaction to the relationship in The Last of Us was already, okay. And he worries to think what level people will actually be willing to accept that. And at number one, I totally see that. But number two, I'm already also wondering... how loud is, like, just because the negativity is so loud doesn't mean that it's so big. Like, we always see those who scream the loudest are not necessarily representing the majority of people. Because, I mean, the weirdo is probably not very, not from the feminist kind, but he also just didn't give a flying fuck about it. And, like, he was like, that was the normal thing for him to happen in a video game. And I'm like, there are probably so many more like him out there, which are like, I'm totally fine with that. And that's just how it is. And it's not even a topic, but he's not out there shouting and being all like, this is the worst or this is the best or anything. It's just normal. But the ones who are going, like the mobs will always, at least at the very beginning, the mobs will always be the loudest, and the mobs will always be the ones who seem so threatening. But if you look at them close enough, I'm not sure if they're big enough. And I'm, at least that's probably me being overly optimistic about the world and still thinking it's not the worst place of all times. But I just hope that it's not the majority of people, except them being also so loud. I don't know. That's just me being.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a big silent majority of people that like they just accept it and they don't talk about it because there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, okay, that is what it is. And I do think that silent majority is a majority just because they're not there shouting their views from the rooftops like we do as a not silent majority. Like, it doesn't mean that they're not like. Like you say, when it comes to the weirdo, he was just like, yep, it is what it is. But it's the vocal minority who are the ones that make the most noise and like scream that this is wrong, that this is bad, that this isn't normal. And exactly what Fandangly just said in chat there, it's weird to go up on the roof and shout, it's fine and normal.
Yeah.
And that is weird.
I mean, I always do have the hope that idiots and mobs die out eventually, but I know they kind of can't die out because they also reproduce and produce new idiots. But then also, I think at least we had the nice interview that's not yet out, but maybe we should just add it on the... just as a cider for people who probably don't listen. We had an interview with a... with Professor Talib, who is a feminist in the second wave feminism, and she basically gave us a bit of hope in the interview that we had with her, because even though it seems to us probably that nothing has been happening in the last couple of years, or at least so little has been happening in the last couple of years, she basically gave us hope that that's not the case, that actually compared to what she has gone through, a lot has already happened, and we basically have to pass on the torch. And we're probably not the ones who are going to be like solving the problem, but we we pass the torch on to the next generation, and the next generation is already making it making better decisions and having less issues with things that we might still have issues with, and it's just something that takes a long time, but it's not that we're not moving in a good direction. Yeah, and that was quite like powerful to hear when we had that interview.
It was a great interview. Yeah, look out for it. It's gonna come out in July this month sometime. I think. Who even knows?
Nobody knows. We have so many backlog.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to say, I agree with Watermelon in the chat, who said that they're of the belief that we should attempt to meet people where they are and bring them to the light. And I feel that that is my perspective as well. Like that, I do try to kind of meet somebody and be like, try to understand ish their point of view, even if I don't agree with it, or like, see maybe like, is it something in your upbringing like that's made you believe this or think this way, or like what Frasley makes the point about the white fragility book that we're reading in book club right now about the white frame, like can that apply to other social norms, like the heterosexual heterosexual frame.
Heterosexual flame.
Don't we all? Or like the, what other societal norms are there? Like the male frame and the education frame, like 100%. To go through like college, university and get a job and carry on that way.
I just got distracted because Watermelon said the heterosexual flame sounds awesome. How do I hand my gay card back in? I really like you with your gay card, Watermelon. We can make a homosexual flame as well if you want. I do think that all the isms that we're talking about, they all have their own frame that and flame. That we're
deep caring, serious, lots of laughs.
That's how we roll. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I do think that everything that you said, like, it's not just the white frame that we're navigating in. It's the all the isms that we're dealing with: sexism, racism, ageism, ableism. All the isms navigate in a certain frame. That we, number one, need to be more aware of and need to get more aware of, and that we're all participating in a way. And yeah, that's why I think we need to often really, really question ourselves a lot and reflect on how we do life and what we do in our life. And that just because we haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it's not there or that it doesn't exist. And that's why I personally always try to, and I'm sure it doesn't work all the time, or most of the time it probably doesn't work, but it's about the emotion, or it's about the person. Like, if a person tells me that's how they're feeling, then that's the valid point that we're going with. And if somebody tells me that I was born a man but I am a woman, then that's what I'm going with, or that's what I need to go with, because your emotions are valid and your approach to life is valid, and I'm not the one to tell you that you can't do this, or that you can't experience life like this, because you're the one experiencing your life. I'm the one experiencing my life in my own way. And that's just, I think if we would do that more and be more understanding towards people like that, then we would have probably less issues. And then we can still disagree, but at least we acknowledge and respect the other people's experiences, and we can say that's not mine, but I see how it's yours, and then go from there. But it's so obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the train of thought that you were on there. It's like nobody else can experience your lived experiences. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, like, you just need to accept people for the experiences that they've had and how they are as a person. And I mean, sure, we might get to a point, or that person might get to a point where, like, they make a decision. Like, we can let's talk about Halle Berry today. She was being like casting for a role as a transgender woman, Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, this is going to be my next role. I'm really excited to like learn about this role and like learn about what it was like for this trans woman to be. I think it was for like a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a lot of flack about it because she's not a trans woman. And like she came out today and said that she made a statement that she's no longer going to play the role. She's going to turn it down because as a cis woman, she doesn't have the lived experiences of somebody who has transitioned, and it's not her place to tell those stories. And like, I think we need to support people more to have a change of opinions. Mm. Like, we give people such a hard time for like not for changing their opinion or for not changing their opinion, yeah, or for like what they've done in their history, like in their past, when they are trying to change and be better, and we still give them grief because of what they've done 15, 20 years ago, or even last week, you know. Mm. Like, we're all learning, we're all growing, always, forever. Like, mm, God, if you're not, like, what the fuck is the point of life, right? Like, it's all about becoming a better and a higher version of ourselves and helping other people do the same thing. And if we're holding them accountable, like, I'm not saying people shouldn't be held accountable for like horrible shit that they have done. But like, I think if we're holding people accountable to things that like uninformed opinions that they've had, or mm-hmm, like choices that they've made, like not harmful choices, but just like just maybe poor choices that they've made, or things that have happened. Like, I mean, God, I wouldn't want to be held totally accountable to the decisions of 15-year-old Amanda. Like, I mean, maybe
honestly,
not.
And some
15-year-old Amanda was awesome. Sorry.
Of course she was.
I was.
Also, we have to acknowledge that all of us live in the same society. Like, I'm living here on the countryside, right? I'm in Austria that is full of traditions for what the actual fuck, man. I can't even start all of those. And my real life experience is very, very limited with all of the things I'm talking about right now. So my entire upbringing and everything that I'm experiencing in my real life is all stuff that I had to unlearn and learn. And I'm still noticing things, even maybe last week or in an interview or something we talked about 2 weeks ago, where I'm like, wow, that's something that I was brought up with, that I was socialized with, and that I can't, that's not a fault of mine. Like, it's something that, and I need to reflect on that, and I need to be able to reflect on that. But sometimes I need to say shit out loud to then hear myself say it. And I'm like, that's actually crap what I just said there. And that's not just me, 15-year-old Monica. That's me, 35-and-a-half-year-old Monica as well, which was last month, for example. Everybody fucks up in their life and does shit occasionally. It's just important that we are allowed to make those failures, and because of these mistakes and because of these failures, we grow.
Yeah, I like, as somebody who has had some pretty serious failures in her life, like in recent years as well, like spectacular business failures, it's inside those failures that you learn and you grow and you become better, and you see like, okay, that sucked, that was a huge failure, how can I learn from that, how can I use that experience to grow as a person and figure out how not to fuck up so badly the next time. Like, there's beauty in failure, and there's, mm-hmm, beauty in being wrong, and it's just like owning it and understanding that you're not a bad person because you did something bad, or you're not a bad person because you made a poor decision. I mean, like, yes, okay, there are occasions that maybe you are just a really bad person. But I think for the majority of people, there's a way forward into a better life.
I do also think, I mean, Fresley said it in the chat, that some people show they never learn, but we also need to be aware that the ability to reflect on things, I am pretty sure, or I am quite convinced, that not everyone is able to do that about themselves and about their life. So it's just something that we also need to be aware of, because for us, we're talking about shit like this all the time. Like, we are used to reflecting on things, and even though we do that, I still turn around and say some shit to my boyfriend because I didn't reflect on that properly. And I do think that we need to be aware that some people just have a hard time doing that in general, because it's painful and sometimes it's stressful, and sometimes just not worrying about things is just so much easier than constantly worrying about things. And I think some people either make a decision to do that or not do that, and some people just simply can't reflect because of the way they've been raised, because that was never a thing, because they never had an experience in their lives where they had to start reflecting on what happened. And that's, we can't condemn people because of that as well, because that's also not entirely intentional, I think. That's just because they're not where they, their life is comfortable the way that it is right now. And if their life and their society and their surroundings never bring them to a point where they need to reflect on stuff or where they have to reconsider things they said, then why the fuck would they? Like, why would they?
Reminds me of the conversation we had with our other resident feminist, Virginia, from the Feminist Shop. And she was saying how before she opened the Feminist Shop or started or even considered herself a feminist, because she hasn't always been, she didn't think about shit all the time. And now that, like, this is her job, she's a professional feminist. I named her that, and it's so true. Her life is feminism. And since that is her life, she's like, I sometimes wish that I could just turn off how much I fucking care.
Yeah.
And like, I get it, because it is hard to care so much all the time. And it takes so much energy, and it hurts when, like, you see other people that don't give a shit the way that you give a shit. But, you know, it's moving forward and just giving a goddamn shit that is going to get shit done, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know how much we can force people into a position of caring, because it's hard. It is just hard and exhausting sometimes. And sometimes sometimes I just wish I would be dumber, because it's just, I would probably worry less. I would probably walk through life being all whatever. We have a stupid thing that we say around here, which is also very, very elitist to say, but my mom used to say that when she was still alive, like, stupid fucks well.
There.
So I can see how that, like, you wouldn't be concerned with so much in your life if you wouldn't think about everything so much. And that's just, I totally feel Virginia on that. Sorry, I had to bring that to the table. My mom had smart things to say in her life. Well, smart, but definitely enjoyable. And yeah, I do think it's also, yeah, not maybe not, not even, I wouldn't even go that far as to say it's a decision. I really think that some people are not capable of doing that, like capable of, because it would question their entire worldview. And I'm thinking a lot of a friend of the ex-husband of a friend of mine, where I'm like, if he would start to reconsider how his life is or reevaluate how his life is, everything would come crumbling down. And why would you do that? Like, why would you? That is terrifying to think about. And instead, if you keep up the facade and if you keep up the thing of I'm strong as fuck and I can have everything figured out, that's just less exhausting. And I can see how people wouldn't want to go there.
For sure. Like, I definitely see it. And like, I would be lying if I said that there are moments that I wish that I didn't care. Because like, yeah, it's hard, but it's the right thing to do, and it's the good thing to do for, like, yeah, for ourselves, but also for society. Like, if everyone just stopped caring, like, God.
I wouldn't even go that far as to say they don't care, but also you need to fill your own cup first. And if you're not capable to rebuild your own, like, if you tear the house down and you're not able to rebuild the house again after what you've just torn down, then what's the point? Like, then it won't help anyone. And then I'm like, we would have way more broken people around if they would deal with and individualism is hard. It's hard because you have to question. It's culturally and sociologically. Wow,
good word.
I like it. Yeah. The society has been changing, and not too long ago it was more about the we and the family and the group, and just in recent, like in the last 20, 30 years, maybe it became more about the individual and more about what do we want from life. Like my mother couldn't even get work that she wanted to get without the consent of her father. She wanted to become a seamstress, but she had to become a cook. And even a friend of the weirdo, he's a carpenter now because his family owns a carpenter business, and he's my age. And I'm like, that's still real. And we only now start to figure out what do we want in life? What do I want to do? And it's a lot of work, and still can't figure it out. I'm 35 now, and I can't tell you what I want to do. And that's just sometimes. And that's just really something that we start to unlearn and learn something new. And this entire process is just so much that I see where some people still are stuck in the way where it's like, it's about us, it's about family, it's about what I know, because that's what I know, because everything in between becomes so uncertain and so loose, and you have to want to go there.
Yeah.
So it's all a progress that we make in society, and I think maybe that's why it's so messy now, because I don't know, we have to learn, we all have to learn. Maybe that's why it's such a horrible place right now, because it's always a mess before it becomes something better. You always, when you bake bread or make a cake, then it's all shit before you, at the end you have something really great in it, and the kitchen is a mess and everything's a mess, and you're like, this will never be a cake and this will never be anything edible, and in the end you have an amazing cake. Maybe that's where we're at right now.
I think so. Like I've been saying since 2020 fell apart that like this is something good is going to come out of this. Like, I mean, I'm saying it because I have to believe it in my heart that that's what's happening right now. I have to believe that, mm-hmm. because if I don't, then it's like, then I will fall apart.
Yeah.
But I also like genuinely believe that there is going to be something beautiful that comes out of this absolute breakdown, because there is beauty in destruction. Like you just need to look, like even seeing a building get demolished, like it's fascinating and it's pretty like stunning to see something go from being like 50 stories high to falling in and crumbling in on itself. And it's really weird and strangely beautiful.
Mm.
And then there's going to be something nice afterwards.
Even if it's just a flat surface that you can then decide what to create from next. And maybe that's where we're aiming towards.
It's just like an Animal Crossing, right? Like after you completely level your island and you move all your villagers onto the beach, and then you flatten it all, and then you've got a beautiful canvas to start again on. So I had to bring it back to the geek highs and lows.
Yeah, that's where I'm at for a month now or more. And but I'm using the time for my blue rose to grow, which is not happening, but yeah. But yeah, that's how it is. And that's also the duality of life, is high and low, I guess.
It is riding that wave of like in the duality, and mm-hmm. knowing that you see both sides, and like Fandangli said about sitting on the fence and viewing both sides, but it is not just viewing it, it's riding it and
yeah.
like figuring out how to grow from it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And you forgot what you were going to say.
No, what I wanted to say was that we also need both. Because otherwise, why would we know what state we're in right now? If we like, how would we know something is good if we wouldn't have the comparison of something being horribly bad? And some experiences in life, they will forever shape you and maybe make you a calmer person. Like you and the business situation is something where you're going to be like, approach things way differently now. And that's probably something that manifested with you, where like that changed me in a way where other things will never happen again because of this. And for me, it was when my mom passed away, when it was like nothing ever compared to the pain that I had when that happened. So it's like a lot of drama. I'm just like, like roll down the backside of me because I couldn't care less because I had so much pain already in my life. And because of that, I know also when good stuff is going on and also when I want to care and when I don't want to care. And I think that's just how life rolls in general. And yes, while some even geeky stuff that we loved for such a long time now had such a downfall, that doesn't mean that not something amazing can come out of this. Because look at the Gaily Prophet. They got so many more people now following their stuff because people need it still. People are not willing to drop it all, and they're not willing to burn it all down because it was so important to them. And that's where you can create community from this as well. You can find your people and you can find which shoe fits better for you. If it turned out that the shoe was broken. Wow, what a metaphor.
That was a metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of like absolutely not what the topic said it was, but we're here for it.
Yeah, not at all, but I'm glad it was a good conversation. Yeah. But yeah, it was that was not what I was expecting.
Unrelated topic.
Yeah. So just ignore that video title. We'll rename it.
Can we rename it? Like that the topic's yeah, sure. Gonna be like, we have no fucking idea what's going on today.
That's what a geek herring and chill is. Geek herring and chill is usually let's just go for it, shoot the shit, see what happens.
It was a deep shooting shit.
Yeah. That was deep. Thanks for being here with us for that conversation.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I guess we both needed to get off our chests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still, if people don't know what we stand for, I hope you do now. And if you need some ally, we're here and we're allying with everyone. Yeah.
Except for assholes.
We don't ally for assholes. Well. Sometimes I'm pretty sure I'm an asshole, so I'm...
No, you're not. Well. You're not an asshole. If you want more, discussion, throughout your time in between having us in your ear holes, you can join us in our Discord channel, because we talk about serious stuff sometimes and celebrate happy things and talk about Animal Crossing and, all the fun stuff, over in our Discord channel.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, for anybody listening on the podcast, that's at geekherring.com/discord. And it's a pretty nice place right now. Yeah. And when you get there, it'll be even nicer.
Aw, look at you being all cheesy.
Sometimes I'm cheesy.
That is very true.
And just before we head off, I would love to read a new review that we got.
Yes, I know which one.
So this comes from Darth Brooks, and we'll just go with that username. So Darth Brooks says, "A light in the dark. I feel like Princess Jasmine, and Amanda and Monica are Aladdin because they've opened up a whole new world for me. They've helped me understand more about the struggles that women are facing in our entertainment sphere, and as a father to an LGBTQIA+ child, Amanda and Monica have given me the tools to now open up a whole new world for my kiddo. To me, that is everything. My son was dealing with crippling depression, and he finally started to come over that when he came out. Now we're exploring content creators and all kinds of stuff to help him feel like he is a normal kid. Thank you both, and I can't wait for the next episode."
I almost teared up a bit.
I did a little bit.
Read it, and I was already emosh, but you reading it now made me more emosh.
Yeah. Oh. So thank you so much, Darth Brooks. And you know that we know who you are, and we love you. And thank you for that review. And we're really glad that Geek Herring helps.
It's so great to see that we do actually help. For so long, we've been shouting into the void and we haven't heard anyone. And then now it feels like people voice how we helped them. And it's just so nice to see, because I had no idea.
I know. Well, Monica was shouting.
I wasn't shouting.
You're always shouting. It's in your nature.
And it's probably not wrong.
No. So... that's what we've got for you this week. on Geek Herring. Stay tuned for another awesome episode of Geek Herring next week.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.